Hello, I'm Grant Johnson. Welcome to my father's podcast. It's our desire today that you be blessed and encouraged by today's message. I'll be back later to let you know how you can receive additional information on our ministry at drcraigjohnson.net. God bless you.
You know, I was on a cruise and we went in for the orientation, and of course they said, now, who's been married a year? And hands went up. Who's been married 5 years? Hands went up. Who's been married 10 years? Hands went up. Who's been married 15 years? 20 years? 30 years? 40 years? 50 years? 53 years! And they like gave him a donut. I'm on you two. You stay together because you'll get a donut. But there was a gallery of couples and of all ages, but the donut went to the oldest couple. All right. Let's use that same analogy. I have a feeling in my spirit that the Lord Jesus is just about ready to line his children up and say, now who's suffered affliction for 1 year, for 2 years? Who's gone without for five? Who's had reversals and setbacks for 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 50 years? Give him a donut. Did you know in the hour that is just before us, God is going to promote men, women, boys, and girls, not necessarily the newest and the truest and the best and the blessed, but he's going to look at the lives of his afflicted who for extended periods of time have walked through valleys, who have endured sometimes torture emotionally, spiritually, pressed down, like Paul the Apostle said, pressed down under the weight of affliction. And God is going to, in a moment, begin to pour his precious Holy Spirit out upon those who have dug cisterns in their lives, deep, abiding places, so that his water has somewhere to go and his glory has something to fill. You know, I thought, what an amazing parable. All of a sudden, it's going to be hip and in vogue to have suffered for 40 years. And you know what the young people would want to believe? They receive that, if that becomes the standard. Do you know what I'm talking about? What if all of a sudden the affliction of your life that has pressed you down to the ground and had made you feel isolated, and though that you were born under the wrong star and everything has gone wrong and your life has never gone any way you wanted it to go, that at the end God would say, I'm going to draw a circle around that and put a premium on that and give you all the way to glory. Not in heaven, now. Thank you, precious, faithful servant, for enduring years of affliction. And he calls you up and puts a medal on you. Loved one, the world doesn't always value what God values. But I'm telling you this morning, just by a spirit of prophecy, we're going to talk about affliction, the weight of affliction, the weight of glory, and then we're going to end talking about an old enemy. I know some of you have new enemies in the spiritual realm, you know, new levels, new devils, but there are some old enemies that come up to the door just before you walk through the destiny. You know, the biggest devil you're ever going to face is at the door of your destiny, not 40 miles out when you're in the conference shouting. Principalities never attack you when you're in church and the glory's all over and the worship's loud and everybody's shouting. They wait till you get in your car later on your way to Denny's. And then at 2 a.m, they attack. Oh, my Lord, my Lord. I want to just speak a scripture that may be common to most of you, but 2 Corinthians 4:17 and 18 is our theme. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Psalm 18:18, listen to this. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. May God bless the reading of his word. Loved one, all afflictions have weight. Paul the Apostle is talking to believers, and he's saying, every time that you are weighed down with an affliction associated with your walk in Jesus, afflictions do have weight, but glory has greater weight. There is glory associated with every affliction. And when I speak of glory, I'm not talking about heaven. I'm talking about the heavy, heavy reward that the Lord rests upon the shoulders of his afflicted ones. You know, he was called a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. But he's too pretty in all the movies. The Bible says that there was nothing about his form that anyone would be drawn to. There's nothing. He didn't look like Brad Pitt, that there was nothing about his appearance. And after he was whipped and beaten and put on the cross, he didn't even look human, the Bible says. It looked like a mass of meat. So we've been a little misled with these pretty Jesuses. Because even that touches a chord in the culture that, I wish I was that good looking. You know, when you look at the Son of God, you shouldn't be struck with great beard. I wish I was that good looking. If God's all powerful, how come I don't look like Jesus? You know, loved one, he didn't look like the Robert Powell. He didn't look like Jeffrey Hunter in King of Kings. He didn't look like Max von Sydow. He didn't look like Jim Caviezel or whatever his name is. Shut up, ladies. Sit down now. We had someone in the church just started talking. Do you know what? He wasn't pretty like that. I think he was more like Quasimodo. I think he was more like, not in physical imperfection, but there was such a non-plus something about his physicality that you would walk right by him like people walk right by you and don't even pay any attention. I remember there was an old gentleman out here in Westlake on the golf course wearing his little Velcro shoes and his pants pulled up too high waiting for the flood and his old hat, and they're ordering him, get off the property, get out of the way. He's the owner. You got to watch who you offend. Come on. You know that guy that founded Walmart? You ever seen that guy? Looks like a poster child for special needs people. The owner of Walmart. Loved one, some of you have been passed over. People haven't even looked at you. There's no ground in the natural by which they would think there is anything of value, but God looks at how you've carried the heavy afflictions, and he has a corresponding weight of glory. Did you notice in the Bible, glory is tied to affliction? In fact, glory comes out of affliction. You can't avoid it. There's no such thing as a book that can teach you the four things you say or the 10 things that you do or the poor, and then your life's going to be a feather bed. If you follow Jesus, you will face affliction, and affliction has weight. Come on, I'm talking to some people that have been more afflicted than I've been in my life. You know what poverty feels like when it's an affliction. You know what it feels like when you're sick and there's illness in your body. You know what it feels like when you've lost relationships and have had so many setbacks that you're covered with so many scars, you're not quite sure the atheists aren't a little right. Come on. Sometimes it looks so bad. But that's when God gets his glory, and that's when God is so honored by the fact that his children love him for him and not the stuff he gives. You're a room full of people. And do you know why God is going to bring a heavy weight of blessing upon you? Because you love him for him, like Job did. You don't love him for his stuff. You love the God of the gifts, not the gifts of God. You love the blesser, not the blessing. Do you see? You know you're maturing when you get closer to that place where you go, he is my exceeding great reward. I don't need any more of this. You're it, Lord. And if I get nothing else from you, I just love you for you. Don't you crave to be loved for you and not the money you've got? See, once you win the lottery, you can't trust another human being you ever meet. You got relatives and friends you never knew you had that come out. But see, they're not there for you. They never were there your whole life. But you win some money or you become famous or you get a little bit popular. And now you can't trust another soul because they're not there for you. They're there for stuff. Your Majesty is looking extraordinarily handsome today. Who are you? I'm your great, 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 great cousin. Oh. Twice removed. Lord have mercy. Paul says it, and he can talk. Do you remember we mentioned Paul's little situation in 2 Corinthians 11:24-28. Want to hear about heavy afflictions? Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Now, this is a religious spirit right here. The rabbis were told, you can only give 40 lashes, so they didn't dare want to give 41, so they dumped it down by one. So they'd only beat you viciously 39 times. Must keep the law, you know. Isn't that the quintessential religious spirit? Now, we don't want to break the law here, so 39. Paul says, listen, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. And a night and a day have I been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of the churches. Whoa! This man was pressed down with extended, weighty afflictions. But look at his attitude. He says, I can handle all this. Because these light afflictions, yeah, they weigh on the scale. Yeah, we're not in denial of reality around here. They weigh on the scale. When you put your afflictions on the scale, they start going down. But Paul said, when you put the weight of glory that's going to come out of those afflictions on the other plate of the scale, oh, there's a heavy blessing. Paul said, it is so heavy. Can you imagine? He's the man that said, when I am weak, I celebrate, because then and only then is the strength of God upon me. Loved one, I'm telling you something. It's in your weakness that his strength shows up. If you don't need him, he doesn't show up. See, you don't understand. I don't control the anointing in this room. You do. If you come in hungry, thirsty, desperate, seeking, he will do whatever he needs to do. But sometimes we don't have a healing service because there's no one to heal. Everybody's well. What does a healing anointing have to show up if everybody's all right? You see, there's such an interaction here. Paul the apostle, blessed, called of God, anointed, favored. In fact, he was the greatest apostle of his day. Yet the weight of affliction, he just described a little bit of what his day is like. Covered with scars from the top of his head to the soles of his feet through these vicious attacks and assaults. Yet Paul said, put the afflictions in one scale and put the glory that's eking out and surrounded by, it's a heavy blessing. Loved one, I prophesy a weighty coat of mail blessing for you coming up. A big old lead hat blessing for you coming up. Put a big old hat. Who would wear a lead hat? But if God told you to, I know Tim would. Can you imagine putting a big old head, just a hat on, it's 90 pounds, and you're just sort of going, well, I don't know what to do with this blessing, Lord. But it's weighty. You get the image? It's weighty. Do you remember in the book of Numbers, they were sent out to spy out the land? And Numbers chapter 13 says they went to the valley of Eshcol, it was called, and they found one cluster of grapes, and it took two men on a pole to carry that one cluster. That's a heavy, heavy load. I got a feeling that some of you have been carrying dead bodies on your little pole. But all of a sudden, you're going to start smelling the smell of fruit. What's that? Won't smell as good as my Abercrombie, but you'll get the analogy. You know what I mean? Sometimes you just, those guys, can you imagine? Some 200-300-pound cluster of grapes, and they carried them carefully because they didn't want to destroy any of the grapes. They wanted to bring them from the promised land of Canaan to show the people how good the soil was and what could come out of blessed soil. Loved one, you haven't seen what can come out of blessed soil that God brings into your life. You're coming into it. Hold on. It took two men to carry. See the weight? The weight. There's a cluster blessing coming up for you. It's heavy. And you may be shifting the pole from arm to arm, and it's behind you. You don't see it, but you start smelling grapes. You start, what's the wind blows just right? You go, wait a minute, I still feel a weight, but I don't think it's a dead body that I'm carrying around in judgment, or some pig that you're taking to a luau. But it's a big cluster of fruit with big old basketball grapes. You can drink all day just on one grape. Complain about how full you feel. There's complaining in every area of life. You know, wilderness, poverty is a wilderness you need to learn to negotiate, and wealth is a wilderness that you need to negotiate. It doesn't get any better. You have different responsibilities when you have money. In fact, you have more responsibilities. Money's the answer. And money is not the answer to everything, honey, because it's just a new battlefield and a new area of you to learn discipline in. And boy, you got new friends you never thought you'd get. I'm telling you, you're coming into a heavy, fat, glorious, weighty. Do you remember in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus comes up to Peter, Luke 5, 7, and 8, and Peter is a fisherman. You know this, in the Sea of Galilee. That's his world. That's his thing. That's his thing. Have you ever tried to tell someone about their thing? You know, like they've been doing makeup their whole life, and you go in and try to tell them how to do makeup. Now, what you really need to do, they go, excuse me, I've been doing this for 40 years. I do this for a living. You know, when you run into an expert, Peter was the expert on the lake. Now, he starts hearing about this preacher, you know. Hardworking men don't have time for these little lily-livered preachers, you know. They don't know anything. And Jesus comes out. I want you to see something about Jesus. Peter was having a problem believing. And Jesus came and did a miracle right in his field, in his soul, in his life. He didn't grow hair on a billiard ball or something, say, look, I'm the Son of God. He came right into what Peter knew better than anyone. He'd washed his nets. He'd toiled all night, caught nothing. Jesus said, go back out again. He said, Lord, I washed my nets. I know, stick to preaching. Let me stick to fishing. Crazy preachers. Jesus said, go out again. And he threw his net in the water, and listen to what the Bible says. Listen to it. It's a prophecy over you. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat and came and helped them. And they came and filled both boats so full that the boat began to sink. And then Simon Peter saw this and fell at Jesus' knees and said, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. Jesus knows how to do a miracle right in your little world that will rock your little world to such a point it'll press you to your knees and just to say, Lord, I'm not worthy of this. Do you know, it's nice when he heals somebody else. It's nice when he does, you know, he's putting gold dust on people in services and manna shows up in Bibles. That's good. But when he comes personally to you in your line of business and in your world and in your affliction, and he does a miracle that's weighty. Can you imagine what those nets felt like trying to pull the fish out of the water? I was in Mexico once with my family, and we saw two men, and they had these nets, and they were just pulling these nets in, and there were sharks and barracuda, and it was so heavy. God's about to bring a heavy blessing for you that's going to you're going to need help to pull it in, because your afflictions, though weighty, are outweighed by what the Bible calls the weight of glory. And here's how the issue goes. You have little glory, and then you have an affliction. And then you have some glory, and then you have an affliction. Affliction is the bridge from glory to glory. You know, things are going well for a minute, and you're thinking, well, maybe my life has turned around. Then you run into an affliction. It weighs you down. You have to decide if you're going to stand for God, and you're just going to keep doing the next right thing. And he shows up, and he delivers you, and then you get some glory. And then you go right into another affliction. There is a connection between your heavy affliction and your heavy glory. But this is a positive word today. Jesus Christ died for you. Salvation is free. Thank God. But everything else in the kingdom costs something. It takes a second for him to make a child. It takes a lifetime for him to forge a disciple. You know what I'm saying? It's free. Praise God. I'm saved. I got my fire insurance. Yeah. Now you start discipling. Put your little gym outfit on. You're out there ready. Okay, what's this Christian walk going to be like? Well, it's going to be learning how to walk one step at a time in a straight line under weight. Underweight. It doesn't matter how you started, you can finish well, loved one. But I just feel the Lord is so proud of those of his children who have endured the weight of affliction and long for glory and hunger and thirst for glory. See, I can't go to big Christian meetings without longing for the glory of God. I just about burst. It's almost physically painful for me to go to a church service. Because I want that heavy glory. Did you know the Bible has this real interesting statement about God in Proverbs 11:1? It says, the Lord detests a dishonest scale, but an accurate weight finds favor with him. Leviticus 19:35, do not use a dishonest standard when measuring length, weight, or quantity. Deuteronomy 25:13, do not have two different weights in your bag, one heavy and one light. They used to, all the measuring stones, it was called a measuring stone, were kept in the temple. And so when you were involved in commerce, you know, they didn't have cash like we have today. They would weigh out everything. And a chintzy person would add a little stone when no one was looking to make it heavier. Don't try to look heavier than you are. Come on. What if all of a sudden skinny's no good anymore and fat's in? Then I'm made in the shade. But what if all of a sudden you buy a fat suit? And you're walking around. And you say, look at all these glorious anointed fat people. Wait a minute. Whoa, 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 whoa. It's an unjust balance back there. That guy's got a fat suit on. So we're living in a time, loved one, where the Lord has been sifting his own. And we've been going through the fire. And the wood, hay, and stubble is being consumed. But the gold and the silver is being purified. So there's going to be a true weight on the scales. God loves a true stone. He despises people trying to look more spiritual than they are. I love to see those people, you know, with just the weird looking eyes and always heads in the clouds, religious spirit, just always, you know, heavenly minded, no earthly good, just crazy folk. God knows how much you weigh. That's not holiness. That's not holiness. Being on your face begging God for mercy again. I walk around all day going, Son of David, have mercy on me. And I remember Arwen one day said, who's the son of David? Affliction has weight, but glory has more weight. And I'm telling you, loved one, I'm telling you, there's something about this season that's coming up. Listen to what Peter said to his own in his time, 1 Peter 1, 6 through 8, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried by fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Loved one, it's just a little while that it may be necessary to walk through another valley with the weight of affliction just a little bit longer. But Paul said, the afflictions of your lifetime are not even able to be compared to the glory. He calls them light afflictions. They got weight, but compared to glory, they're not that heavy. You know, something that comes to my heart, and one of my favorite verses, and you've heard me say some version of this probably 100 times, in Genesis 41:51-52, Joseph, the Bible says, Joseph named his firstborn Manasseh and said, it is because God made me forget all my trouble and all my father's household. The second he named Ephraim and said, it is because God hath made me fruitful in the land of my suffering. Listen to that. God has made you fruitful in the land of your suffering. Glory comes from affliction. The weight of affliction. You say, Craig, this weight is overwhelming. It's going to kill me. Well, you feel the glory that's going to come. Well, you will feel that coat of mayo suit put on you. Wait till you see that cluster of grapes coming around on your shoulder. And you start going, you know, it's still heavy, but my God, this smells good. Pulling in the, we're all going to have to jump to our place in the net because it's going to be so heavy, heavy. That's what's coming. A heavy. The word for glory, kavod, means weight. Weight. In Hebrew and Greek, the name means weight. Heavy. Heavy. Thick. Why do you think the Bible says, 2 Chronicles 5:14, the priests were unable to stand to serve when the glory filled the temple? Because it weighs so much, they're down. You imagine coming into Bethel one day and trying to find a bulletin, and everyone's laid out. It looks like just a bunch of drunks. We knew there's something wrong about that place. Can you imagine today if we were all fell out in the ground, couldn't move, couldn't talk, couldn't, and then that's when the new people come in, looking for an Orthodox conservative evangelical church. There's too much talking. There's too much walking. God's going to bring a heavy thing that's going to push us down. Come on, Tim. Tim Tucker and I are going to get our overalls and just prophesy. Tim and I always talk about how that glory is going to come. And we're just, we're old guys rule, man. We're going to be walking around. We'll walk until we fall. But do you see, loved one, can you imagine a thick, heavy, personal blessing of glory that comes and outweighs your affliction? Oh, what a fantasy, huh? Oh, it just feels good to dream it might be so. Wouldn't that be amazing? Well, but then after affliction that weighs a lot, and all of a sudden it spawns that glory. And by the way, you may not see right yet that there's glory coming out of your life because of the affliction you've endured. We see it. Are you looking through your glasses or at your glasses? You're looking through your glasses. I'm looking at your glasses. I can see you in a way you cannot see yourself. You're looking through your life, not at your life. I'm looking at your life, so I can see you in a way you cannot see yourself. And I see glory on you in the midst of your afflictions. This house has been a house of affliction. And God has brought afflicted souls here, but there's something beautiful. There's a light coming from you. We could read the newspaper from some of you. You don't see it. Moses didn't see that his face was shining, but he so wanted to be with the people that he put a veil over his face so that it wouldn't interrupt the fellowship that he had. Some of you, we're going to start selling veils here on the website. Come and buy your veil. What? No, they're anointed. Really? What are they for? Loved one, there's glory exuding from your affliction, but you don't smell it and you don't see it, you know? You're like the stone fountain that's pouring water out. Everybody's drinking, but you're not getting any of it. But I just want to encourage you. I see glory. That's why we have to encourage one another in the Lord. When you see a way to glory on someone that's been afflicted, tell them. They don't know. Well, they know everybody. You know, you're in public. Everybody thinks you say nice things. I usually hear trauma. I usually talk to folk when they're in the midst of hell. I don't just have a cult following me around saying, Your Majesty. I don't. So someone says something nice and I go on. Don't cut that off too premature. Come on. What? Huh? I'm a little more deaf in my left ear than my right, but what? Loved one, we need to tell each other, I see some glory coming. I see a weight of glory on you. There's something new about you. When you prayed, I just couldn't. You know what? Maturity has a delicious weight. Come on, maturity has a delicious weight. Like I talked about mom wisdom is the culmination of a lifetime of being mama. Well, baby, that boy no good. Stay away from him. Oh, mama, what do you know? Everything. There's a weight to wisdom. There's a weight to serving God your whole life, and someone 15 comes brushing by, a 55-year-old, thinking they know. I always tell Grant, I've been your age. You've never been mine. Let's just keep that always front and center. Huh? As talented and as gifted and as wonderful as you are, Daddy'd been there 100 times, built a building there. They tore it down, built another building, tore it down. Jerusalem's been plowed over 27 times. Most of my life, I've been to things, plowed it under, rebuilt it. And my boy thinks he's facing something for the first time that Daddy doesn't have a PhD in. Y'all youth. Isn't it good to have some maturity in your bones now? You may not walk as fast as you used to, but there's a glory and a weight of glory coming out of the weight of afflictions you've endured. Well, by the way, others have been killed by your weight of afflictions. Loved one, people have gone and killed themselves on a third of what you went through last month. A third of the affliction you've been bearing down on. You wonder why you feel dry sometimes? Because you're bearing the weight of affliction, but it is in the process of spawning glory for you. Sometimes, loved one, you just need to stop everything. Don't be a human doing. Just lay down and be weak. Be a human being. Say, Lord, I can't serve you right now. Loved one, God didn't marry you to work for him. Put that on your promise box. He did not propose marriage to you and marry you because you would make spiffy tracks that you'd pass out to everyone at the mall. He married you because he's in love with you and he wants to behold your form and he doesn't want to go anywhere but be with you. Could that be true? Yeah. All works that are anointed of the Holy Ghost flow from that center of peace. I'm telling you, Taoism is Christianity without Christ. There's some good principles there, man. There's peace at the center. Everything flows out from a place of bliss. Everything. God is trying to say, I love you. I'm married to you. You don't ever have to do anything for me. You don't earn your salvation. You can't lose your salvation. I'll sit for eternity and behold you. Now, that may sound a little obsessive. Please don't go outside. I want to look at you. Well, that's all right, but you know God's perfect. I want to encourage you today. Your weighty afflictions are reduced to a place where you're, when you see the glory he's got for you, you're not even going to remember it. Do you know, Mama, the pain is the worst just before the baby comes? The pain is endurable before the baby comes. I've never heard cursing like that in the birth room. And I was uppity enough to say, you talk to God with that mouth? The greater the pain, the nearer you are to the child coming out, the greatest devils you're going to face are at the door of your destiny. I want to close with this. We've talked about a little heavy affliction, which is going to be replaced by heavy glory. And by the way, it's only the afflicted that get the glory. If you've been avoiding all trouble in your life to live in a feather bed, I'm so sorry. Because when the wind comes through and your house isn't built on the rock, whoosh, it's gone. But us old timers that people have been looking at going, what's his problem? He must have sin in his life. He doesn't have enough faith. Remember those two easy categories for everything? Pat answers, right? Well, it's just a matter of sin, clearly. Or lack of faith. Hold on to that baby when you start going through affliction. That little principle doesn't work. That gun doesn't fire when you go through true affliction. Someone say amen. Come on. Maturity is wonderful. I'm walking a little slower, but I'm a little happier inside because I'm thinking, oh, I got some weight on me now. But you know what happens? Just before you come into that season of affliction turning to glory is the devil isn't dead. He doesn't just go away. I heard of a man that was sitting at a table, an old preacher, and he said at the end of the meal, I'm going to do something the devil's never going to do. I'm going to leave. And he got up and... He doesn't just leave. And you know, I don't know what new enemies you've been facing, but are there old enemies. I want to take just about 5 minutes to introduce you to the worst enemy in the history of Israel. His name is Amalek. I just want to speak a word about Amalek, an old enemy that assaults the glory. Did you know whenever the water starts showing up and the things start getting good, the devil does attack? But I just want to encourage those of you that have been enduring heavy affliction and you've been under heavy attack, you probably don't know the name of the spirit that's attacking you. The name is Amalek. Who were the Amalekites? When the children of Israel left Egypt, and they had just left Egypt, and they were in the wilderness, and they were very tired, the Bible tells us that they were viciously attacked. Exodus chapter 17, the Amalekites came and attacked them. It's the first time Joshua is mentioned in the Bible. It's the first time a battle is mentioned for them in the Bible. And it's the first time we hear of Amalek. Amalek was the grandson of Esau, representing a perpetual hatred of God's people. You know, the devil doesn't dislike you. He hates you. The reason he wants to steal, kill, and destroy is because you are made in the image of God, and to kill you is to kill God in effigy. He can't kill God, so he wants to kill his baby. He's a wicked devil. Amalek is the most vicious. The Amalekites were a people that everyone tried to conquer, and they'd defeat him, but they'd never destroy him. Amalek, why did God, the Bible said God hated Amalek. You know why? First of all, because Amalek attacks unexpectedly. Exodus 17:8 says, when they were leaving, they were tired. Have you ever just been tired and weak under the weight of your affliction and you're waiting for your glory and all of a sudden an unexpected bang out of nowhere, the Amalekites were vicious and they struck the children of God. But it's not just an unexpected attack. The scripture says in Deuteronomy 25, 17, and 18, Amalek attacked indirectly. The scripture says that he came unexpectedly, but he attacked them in the rear. He ambushed them. And the viciousness of Amalek is sought and revealed in the fact that they attacked the children. They attacked the weak, the starving, and the hungry. They wouldn't even have the guts to go against the strong men. They came in and attacked the weak. Isn't it wicked when the devil attacks your weakness? He knows your weakness. Isn't it vicious when someone that knows someone's weakness in public humiliates them by pointing to their weakness? Amalek is never happy until he hits you at your weak point. You may be doing well, you're doing better, but Amalek will always come and say, yeah, but you're still doing this and that. Mm-hmm. Oh, you ugly thing. You know how humiliating and shameful it is Can you imagine if there was a freeze frame of you in whatever your sin happens to be, and it went up on the internet? And you're seen in the middle of whatever your weakness is. That's what the spirit of Amalek does. He seeks to humiliate and attack the weakness. God hated. Did you know God hates people that take advantage of other people's weaknesses? One thing about you as a safe people, as a church, you won't take advantage of anyone's weaknesses. You will cover their weakness. Remember, Shem and Japheth found Noah drunk, but they walked backward and didn't even look upon his nakedness, and they covered him up. Ham went out and told everybody. I know you heard my daddy was drunk. Yeah, I was in there. He didn't have any clothes on either. Loved one, do you know in life, you got to choose if you're going to love covers a multitude of sins. Amalek finds weakness, puts a camera on it, and assaults. This wicked Amalek spirit, indirectly, Deuteronomy 25, 17 and 18, remember what Amalek did unto thee by the way when you were coming forth out of Egypt, how he met thee by the way and smote the hindermost of thee, even all that were feeble behind thee, when thou wast faint and weary, and he feared not God. A vicious and arrogant devil, the Amalekite devil. It's an old devil. Just when you're making progress, that old thing comes back. Isn't it something you thought you whipped? You know what I mean? I got this thing. I'm doing good. And then Amalek comes along and says, no, you're not. And trips you, pulls you down at the point of your weakness, freeze frames that, takes a picture and says, that's all you are, you fool. That's all you are. Forget this beloved of the Lord on whom his favor rests. Forget this blood of Jesus. You are nothing but weak. Well, I'm here to give you some good news. I believe with all my heart the Holy Spirit told me to announce that he is breaking Amalek's back, your old enemy. He's coming in with extra power and extra grace to assassinate the old enemy. Forget the new ones. You know, people say they prefer the devil they know to the one they don't. Sometimes our lives are so bad that like is a praise word right there. I believe with all my heart, loved one, that the Lord is coming to bring a heavy deliverance soon. And it has to do with killing that old enemy that your daddy couldn't kill and your mama couldn't kill. Remember Mount Zion, the city still in the hands of the enemy. No one in your family has been able to take it down. And it's just persistent. God knows who Amalek is in your life, in your marriage, in your family, in your line, from the time you were born. Good news. Jesus Christ is Lord and King, and he holds the keys to death, hell, and the grave. And he knows how to assassinate your Amalek, your old enemy. The old enemy is going to start having its energy drawn away. Do you remember? I think it was Blade 3, the Wesley Snipes film, where they had those nasty vampires, but if they didn't drink blood, they just became these ugly, feeble, dried out little things. But then if you drop one drop of blood on their cheek, they started, you know, it freaked me out. I don't know which one it was. I blocked it. But they found some vampire whose leg was caught and he couldn't have blood. And so he's this helpless little thing. It looks like an old man, but you got to watch it. One drop of blood, you give certain things in your life and they fan right up into a 6'4" and 700 pounds. That's Amalek. But loved one, I believe with all my heart in Jesus' name, and I declare right now in Jesus' name that the weighty afflictions that you have endured for extended seasons will be rewarded with an even weightier glory. Just as heavy as the grapes were, just as heavy as the net full of fish, just as heavy as the cloud that rested in the temple and pressed the priest to the ground. Oh, loved one, your old enemy is known to God. Your old enemy has no power once God steps in to cut it off and assassinate it forever so that it cannot keep assaulting your weakness. You know, the enemy just wants to keep putting his fingers in wounds so that they never quite heal. Let's pray that the Lord cut his hand off. Let's pray that the Lord shut Amalek's mouth. Father, in the name of Jesus, I speak a wall, a hedge of protection around your babies here. They've been walking for miles and miles and years, and some of them decades in service to you. Lord, I pray you crown your heavily afflicted ones with glory so weighty that they'll have to move even slower, not because they're sick or infirmed, but because there's such a weight of blessing. Make the blessing so heavy, Lord, that we'll have to just sit in one place for a while, do our leg exercises with that weight. Please, Lord, your children who are used to carrying dead bodies on their shoulders, that they'll smell the smell of grapes behind them, new fruit, in Jesus' name. The Lord loves you and is appreciative of your service. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Oh, loved one, Father, we pray that you remove the heavy coat of affliction and replace it with a heavy weight of glory. Amalek, shut your mouth in Jesus' name. Leave my brother alone. Leave my sister alone. Thank you for a new day yet before us. Thank you for now when you're going to reward those. And you're going to say, how many of you have been dry and tired and exhausted for 10, 15 years? And we raise our hand in honesty and we're crowned with life. Oh, loved one, he has 7,000 that have not bowed a knee to Baal nor kissed his mouth. And they're not all 15 and 20-year-olds. They're old ones like some I know. They've been there forever in the cave. Long white beard, hadn't seen the light of day. But, oh, loved one, you've been bearing the weight of affliction. You will receive the weight of glory right now. Lord, I pray bondages lift. Exchange the weight, Lord. Exchange the weight. Exchange the weight with a weight of blessing, a weight of fulfillment. Oh, to those that have been under a great trial, but they love you and they've never seen you. Bravo, good for you, good for you. Don't stop now, everybody's watching. Don't stop now. Don't stop now. I remember that song. You all know that? You want to put that up? It's a song I got in a dream when I was just a young man. Mercies holy. Together lovely to him. Mercy upon you in Jesus' name. Healing for your soul in Jesus' name. Peace upon you in Jesus' name. Life in Jesus' name. Hope in Jesus' name. Oh Lord, bring a monsoon to turn the desert into Eden in Jesus' name for you, beloved. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Well, your precious eyes are bowed, heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I mean, right now for just a moment. You know, God loves you so much. He looks upon you right now with such love, complete love. He accepts you because of the blood of his son. He rejoices over you because you're his baby. He doesn't just have a little fondness for you. He's in love with you. And through the blood of Jesus Christ, he can forgive any sin. He can untie any knot that you've tied. In fact, all the knots. You think you're a good knot tier? Wait till you see what he can do with knots. He can untie the net of knots in your life. It's not fairy dust or magic wands. It's the blood of the Son of God poured out deliberately for you. He knows how bad it can get. Maybe this morning you would just like to, just in the privacy and sanctuary of your own heart, just say, Jesus, come into my heart. I open my heart. Come in. Sit on the throne of my life. Take my life over, Lord. Take control. I surrender everything I am to you, Jesus. And right now I pray that his blood would cleanse you of all unrighteousness, that he would untie every knot and every burden, that he would lay his nail-scarred hand on every infirmity that you've become so common with, it just seems to be a part of you. Lord, separate on the scale right now anything that isn't a true weight in Jesus' name. We thank you for the delicious anticipation of growing mature, growing old together here in this place. And we pray the next season of our life will be an effortless radiance of your Spirit coming from us, not human doings, human beings, with peace at the center. In Jesus' name, I bless you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Good job. You're doing such a good job. He's so proud of you. And I'm proud of you. So proud of you. He loves you. He loves your heart. He gave you your heart, your intelligence, your gifts, your talents. He gave it all to you. He's not finished with you. If he was finished with you, he would have sent you to heaven. You're here. He's not finished with you. He loves you. Just a moment more in his presence. Let him wash you right now by his presence in Jesus' name. Let him wash you clean. I know you get tired of you, but he never gets tired of you. Father, bring a turnaround now. Bring a turnaround, Lord. It doesn't need to be quick and give us a whiplash, but it can just be a slow, subtle U-turn in Jesus' name. A slow, subtle U-turn where you turn the ship around. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that weeping does endure through the night, but joy comes in the morning. Thank you that this didn't come to stay. This came to pass. It's going to pass. But thank you, Father, for heaven being in the bank. Thank you for your Son's blood. But thank you that even now we will see a weight of glory descend upon us and our church and our friends. And all the glory will go to you. We will not touch the glory in Jesus' name. Someone say amen. If you love him, give him praise right there. Just give him praise. Thank him for his goodness. Thank him for his goodness. He's turning it around. Bless his holy name.
We hope today's message has been a blessing to you. And if it has, please visit our website at drcraigjohnson.net. There you can find additional messages of encouragement. And if our ministry has been a blessing to you, please consider including us in your ministry giving, as we depend solely on the financial assistance of faithful listeners like yourself. And also, please feel free to send any personal prayer requests. You can find us online at drcraigjohnson.net. God bless you.